ॐ ज्ञानगमनन्दस्य जनजनाशलकयः चक्षुसमिलितञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थपितं येन भूतले सायं प्रफलं मयं ददति सापदन्तिकम्। वंशकपुचुर्भ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च प्रतितनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। We've been hearing the prayers of so many exalted persons in the different varshas of Jambudvip, different divisions of Jambudvip, and we've heard how the Lord is the protector, the maintainer, and how He, through His energies, is everywhere. So how powerful is God? He's inconceivably powerful. And what other explanation is there for the movings of the material world? There can't be another explanation, actually speaking. To say it's chance or it just happened is no explanation at all. If there's a very complicated machine that works in such an amazing way, and you ask an intelligent person, how did it happen? And they say, it just happened, that's all. Or it's always been there. That's what the Buddhists say. They get around the concept of God by saying, the material world has always been there. That's their attempt. So therefore there's no creator. If the material world has always been there, then you don't need to have a creator. But then again, you need a maintainer. How is it maintained? We see with anything, whether it be a car or a garden or your body, or one's body, or any machine, it needs maintenance. It will break down unless it's cared for. And in fact, the maintenance is the most difficult. So the Buddhists don't bother with that. So it only makes sense that there is some great, great intelligence behind the material manifestation that is creating it, maintaining it, and ultimately destroying it. In other words, it's not different from Him. It's resting upon Him. Where did the materials come from, even, that the material world is created from? The ingredients of the material world. So, definitely points to some higher intelligence, some greater being. And once we acknowledge the greater being, that makes us a lesser being, because we have trouble even keeping our rooms neat, things like that. So what can we create? If we put all our energy in, maybe we can build a house or something like that. Or if we focus our intelligence and power, or maybe if we're really powerful, we can build a, and we have so much energy and money, we can build a big skyscraper. But that's one. How about a planet? Or it takes all the countries of the developed countries of the world to make a big, huge skylab in the sky, which is compared to a planet. What is that? It's completely like a speck. I don't know how big it's going to be, but it's relatively like, no, can't be very big, it can't be thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles So all this is resting on the energy of the Lord. The material world is resting with, in all its varieties, it's resting on the Lord's energy. And He is everywhere, we have heard, through His energy. But yet, amazingly enough, and this is the great puzzle, if He's everywhere, why can't we perceive Him? Some people do perceive Him everywhere. Premanjana, Jurita Bhakti Blojanena. And others cannot perceive Him even if directly confronted with Him. So it is a matter, as we have heard in the prayers of Lord Varahadev, that to Lord Varahadev, that the sages or Krishna, it's a matter of Krishna revealing Himself to someone. This is how powerful He is. Like a great, great, powerful king that an ordinary person cannot see. He sees the manifestation of His energies. But we cannot just walk in and see Him. But if He chooses to see us, if He reveals Himself to us, then it's very easy to see Him. So in the next set of prayers, in chapter 19, we're hearing about Hanuman's prayers to Lord Ram. And we're going to hear more about this person. Now we're progressively seeing different aspects of this Lord. So he comes in the form of a tortoise, a fish. And now we will hear how he comes, and of a boar. And now we'll hear how he comes as in the form of a human, a man, and his name, and that human form is Lord Ram. And he's worshipped in Kimpurusha Varsha by Hanuman. So text 1 of the 19th chapter. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, in Kimpurusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ram, Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Aristasena, the chief person in Kimpurusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention." Hanuman chants the following mantras. 3, text 3. So here's the first mantra that Hanuman chants. So the prayers of Hanuman to Lord Ram go up to text 8, including text 8. "Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija Mantra Omkar. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities." There are so many elevated personalities, exalted personalities in this world by different estimations. But Lord Ram is the best of them by every estimation. "Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced in culture." Advanced means advanced in culture. "Your character and behavior are always consistent." What is the opposite of being consistent? Of course, we could say inconsistent.
Erratic
or whimsical. I was thinking of whimsical, but erratic is better. But whimsy. Can you rely on a person who's whimsical? No. But can you rely on a person who's consistent? If God was whimsical, could we rely on Him? Could we take shelter of Him? No. Because one day we'd be doing the same thing, and one day he'd be pleased with us and flowers would rain from the sky and the next day thunderbolts would attack us. We'd be doing the same thing and we couldn't understand. We'd be fearful, terrified. And you always control your senses and mind, acting just like an ordinary human being. You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. So Lord Ramachandra's incarnation is very much the highest character, the highest qualities, the greatest hero. And if one hears about Ram, one will get the perfect example of performing duty and acting in a proper way. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold. Has anyone ever seen such a touchstone? You have? No. You never went into a jeweler. This is Brahmachari. Because the jewelers in India, not only do they sell gold, but they buy gold too. And how do they know it's real gold? They have a stone. And they rub the gold on this particular type of stone. And how the stone reacts to it, what color comes out on the stone, by that they can judge if it's real gold and the quality of the gold. So there's a touchstone, a test stone, that can be used to examine the quality of gold. But you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. So if something is good quality, it can be tested against the character of Lord Ramachandra, and it is there. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Text 4. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. So this is how we can understand the Lord in all of His forms, but especially difficult to understand and understand Him as God is when He's in a human form. But Lord Ram is very difficult to understand. Why? Because He has two arms and two legs, and when we think of God, we want something quite exceptional. Because if He has two arms and two legs, and I have two arms and two legs and two ears, therefore, what is this? Why is He special? How is He everything? How is He maintaining everything? We've just heard the qualities of God. He's maintaining everything. Everything is resting on His energy. And He has two arms and two legs, yes. Transcendental form, inconceivably powerful. Lord Brahma said this when He tested Lord Krishna, the most difficult form of the Lord to understand, the original form, because Lord Ram acted with perfect character according to our estimation, even according to all cultures. Krishna stole. Krishna sometimes would lie. Krishna would dance with the wives of others in the middle of the night. So from the materialistic point of view, that's considered immoral. But whatever this Lord does, whatever the Lord does, it is the perfection of morality. He is all good. His name is Satyam. Truth and goodness. Everything He does is good. There is no moral or immoral in His activities. He is beyond that. So one can actually only understand this Lord if one's consciousness is pure. His form is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. It can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, He is described as being one without a second because of His spiritual potency. What does it mean, one without a second? What does that mean? The concept. Somewhat of a quaint term.
everything?
No, there's no second being, one could say that.
No changes.
How would that be one without a second?
It's always the same.
There's no second aspect of him like that? What I was thinking in any case was that there is no one who can be compared to him. No one can be compared to him. He is the supreme. There is no second one who is his competitor. And because he is not subject to material vision, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. He has nothing to do with matter at all. So when we look at him and see a person and think that, oh, is he an ordinary human? We are just seeing our own ordinary humanness, our own minds is what we are seeing. Because he is not subject to the vision of a material mind. He is known as transcendental because of that. He is beyond. No one can see him with material vision. No one can conceive of him, understand him, perceive him with material vision. So because he is beyond material vision, even though he has form, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Anama, Anama Rupam. He is without a material name and without a material form. Anam, Arupam. But that doesn't mean he has no name and no form. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Wonderful prayers by Hanuman. So Prabhupada in his purport explains that this Lord Ram, who is carried by Hanuman, is not different from Lord Krishna or Vishnu, who is Vishnu carried by Garuda. Prabhupada's purport says, unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravan have no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort, Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the word pratyaksha Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. Material energy cannot touch them. In the Upanishads it is said, Yam eva isha vrinute tena labhya. The Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the Personality of Godhead, can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with love of, with devotional service. When you think of the word saturated, what do you think of? What picture comes to mind? What thought? Huh? Saturating. That's what I think of. I think of a sponge. That when, if you put a sponge in some water, and if you put it in a little water, it'll absorb that water. And then if you put it in more water, it will become full, and you could take it out. But then you could squeeze it a few times, and then let it absorb within every pore of that sponge. water until you, when you pick it up, it's dripping water. It not only can't hold anymore, water is exuding from it. That is saturated. So our consciousness can become saturated with Krishna consciousness, full, overflowing with Krishna consciousness. And when our consciousness is fully saturated with devotional service, Prabhupada explains, then the Lord can actually be perceived. Saturated, super saturated. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 538, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santa Sadaiva Vidyeshu Valokayanti Yam Shyama Sundarama Chintaguna Sarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme, the Primeval Lord. What does Primeval Lord mean? Mr. Graham, what is primeval? Greatest evil? No, no, certainly not. Original, like a rainforest, a forest primeval that's untouched, it's original. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the Adipurusham, who is always, always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen as in his eternal form as Shyamasunda, situated within the heart of the devotee. So he has no material identity, the Lord. He's completely transcendental, beyond matter. But yet he has two arms, two legs, very, very, very beautiful, very wonderful limbs. Every feature of his body is so wonderful, but fully transcendental. 5. It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. It was ordained. By whom? It doesn't say. But ultimately, everything that occurs is ordained by Krishna. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of so many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? So when Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, as Prabhupada already explained, and it's said in one of the Puranas, and as Lord Chaitanya pointed out while he was touring South India, that Ravana actually did not take Sita with him. He took a Maya Sita. So Sita was apart. And Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest lamenting as if an ordinary man. So it wasn't even the real Sita, it wasn't his wife, and he wasn't lamenting his wife actually. He's the Lord, what is this? How is that possible? Very puzzling. So this is called Leela, Naralila. He acted as if a human being to teach something. So there are many lessons, and Prabhupada will mention some of them. And here is his purport to this verse. When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. To destroy the demons and protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his own personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yan Maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Kanduyanena kadayo ivadukka dukam. Tripyantineha kripana bahudukka baja. Kandutivan manasijam. Vishahite dira. Creepiness. Those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of brahmanas generally take the family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Sri Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. There's the other side, or another side. Human society is divided into two classes of men. Those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. Two classes of men. Okay, what does this mean? Human society is divided into two classes of men. Those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. What is hidden in there? So do you, when you go out and distribute books, do you see two classes of men, the devotees and those who are fully religious? Is there an, are there other classes hidden in there? What do you think? What do you say? Do you see others other than those who are religious and those who are devotees? You see some who are irreligious possibly, who don't follow any principles. Every now and then you might see one. So what does Prabhupada mean? Human society is divided into two classes. Yes, he certainly is intimating it. Those who don't at least follow religious principles in their acceptance of sense enjoyment are not actually humans. That's what he's indirectly saying. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he has no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure energy. But just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. So that's the second aspect of the teachings of this Leela of Lord Ramachandra. A third, another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purusha, liberated persons under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, yatta deka vaishnavera vyavahara dukha nischaya janihata paramananda sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, varaha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So one, avoid a life centered around wife and sex enjoyment. What should one's life be centered around? Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. Second lesson, that Lord Ramachandra exhibited how to protect, take care of one's wife. He was the model protective husband. And third, actually he's fully transcendental. This is Leela. He's experiencing the highest bliss. So the Lord and his devotees are always beyond all tribulations. They're always experiencing bliss. Text 6. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved supersoul of all real self-realized souls. And he is their very intimate friend. So it's interesting how these type of issues of the happiness and when it comes to these kind of the leelas that the Lord performs in the form of a human being, these are more difficult to understand. The leelas are more difficult to understand. Because there are things like tribulation. When we're talking about the Varaha Rupa, or the Korma Rupa, or the Matsya Rupa, there's no question of anything resembling the activities or even the emotions of a human. So it's less confusing in one sense. When Varaha appears in this world, we have to learn to accept that whatever form the Lord appears in, even if it is in the form of a hog, he is always transcendental. But once we accept that, and it's easy in the sense that he lifted the earth upon his tusks. So obviously he's not a hog, an ordinary hog, a boar. Transcendental. It's the Lord. But Lord Ramachandra's Leela is still more difficult to understand because it so much resembles a human, the activities of humans. And still more so is the Leela of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the form of Krishna, especially Krishna's dealings in Vrindavan. So therefore in these verses, Hanuman is explaining the transcendental position of Lord Ram, even though he is acting superficially, seemingly his moods mirror those of a human, or rather more exactly said, more accurately said, the human's activities mirror those of Lord Ram. So he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved supersoul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible, because at the end, he banished Sita. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read a section of that, or two sections. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Saddana Shakti Eka Chayivayasya Bhuvanani Babarti Durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. And a little further down. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth and life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the supersoul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized. And he is especially dear to the hearts of the transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Text 7. One cannot establish. So this Lord Ram is so wonderful. He's transcendental. He's consistent. He's dutiful. He always cares for his devotees. So how could we establish our relationship with him? Text 7. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. So that's vyatirek, definition in the negative of what it doesn't take to establish a relationship with Lord Ram. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble birth, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? So who is speaking this? Hanuman. So he had no education, no beauty, no great birth. He was born in a monkey family. And yet, Lord Ramachandra accepted him as his dearest friend and servant. So what does it take? Prabhupada will explain some things in his purport. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feeling, Srimati Kunti Devi called him a Kinchana Gochara. The prefix a means not, and kinchana means something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on. But although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Friendship, Prabhupada is using it generically to mean a relationship. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee, and when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up by high birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Janmaishwarya Shutashri, unfortunately, do not care for developing Krishna consciousness. Nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion. Bhakti mam avijananti. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Tatra loyam ekam mulyam. In Chaitanya Bhagavat it is said, Kola vecha seva kera deka bhagya sima. Brahma shiva kande yara dekya mahima. Dane jane pandite krishna nahi pai. Kevala bhaktira vasa Chaitanya gosai. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Kolavecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kolavecha Sridhar and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges, And with the other 50%, he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana kamanavritam anakalena krishna nashilanam bhakta uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. And the final prayer of Hanuman describes the merciful transcendental person, the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, this is Hanuman speaking, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than a man, such as a bird or beast, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerity or penance to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus, he is satisfied. And as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Prabhupada's purpose. Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is a special advantage of worshipping Lord Sri Ramachandra. And there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ramachandra. In worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, in the matter of Kshatriyas, sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty even to the asuras. All the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered many of the living entities present before them. Indeed, almost all of them. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the sixth-armed form of Sadbhujamurti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sadbhujamurti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those are the prayers of Hanuman to Lord Ram. Very wonderful and powerful. Now, text 9, Sukadeva Goswami continued. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Naranarayan in the land of Bharatvarsha at the place known as Badrik Ashram. Raise your hand if you've been to Badrik Ashram. You went up there? Oh, in Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to the real Badrik Ashram? Did you see Lord Naranarayan there? Nice. Huh? So he has appeared in the form of Naranarayan in the land of Bharatvarsha at the place known as Badrik Ashram to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets, and he engages in executing austerities until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization. So this is actually quite an interesting section. Prabhupada's purport. People in India may visit the temple of Nara Narayan at Badrika Ashram just to learn how the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Nara Narayan engages in austerities to teach the people of the world how to achieve self-realization. It is impossible to realize oneself simply by absorbing oneself in speculation and material activities. One must be very serious about self-realization and the practice of austerity. Unfortunately, the people of this age of Kali do not even know the meaning of austerity. Under these circumstances, the Lord has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon the fallen souls the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Chaito Darpana Marjanam, cleansing of the dirt from the core of one's heart. This method is extremely simple. Anyone can chant the glorious Krishna Sankirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this age, there are different forms of so-called advanced scientific knowledge, such as anthropology, Marxism, Freudianism, nationalism, and industrialism. But if we work very hard under their guidance, instead of adopting the process practiced by Nara Narayan, we shall waste our valuable human form of life. Thus, we shall certainly be cheated and misled, Prabhupada says. In his own book, this is text 10, known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature to Suvarni Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharatvarsha who strictly follow the principles of Vanashrama Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, always engages in the service of Nara Narayan, and he chants as follows. This is in Bharatvarsh. Prabhupada's purport is important here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly declared, Bharata Bhumite Hoyala Manusha Janmayar Janma Sattakakari Kara Para Upakar. The real success or fulfillment of the mission of human life can be achieved in India, Bharatvarsha. Because in Bharatvarsha, the purpose of life and the method for achieving success are evident. People should take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Bharatvarsha, and this is especially so for those who are following the principles of Vanashrama Dharma. If we do not take to the principles of Vanashrama Dharma by accepting the four social orders, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and the four orders of spiritual life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, there can be no question of success in life. Unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, everything is now being lost. The inhabitants of Bharatvarsha are gradually becoming degraded, malechas, and yavanas. How then will they teach others? Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has been started not only for the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, but for all the people of the world, as announced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is still time. And if the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha take this movement of Krishna consciousness seriously, the entire world will be saved from gliding down to a hellish condition. The Krishna consciousness movement follows the process of Pancharatriki Vidhi and that of Bhagavad Vidhi simultaneously, so that people can take advantage of the movement to make their lives successful. So the Pancharatriki Vidhi, the rules and regulations of deity worship, etc., and Bhagavad Vidhi is the direct service of the Lord, hearing, chanting, etc. So combined. Text 11. Let me offer my respectful obeisances into Nara Narayan, the best of all saintly persons. So here's the incarnation of the Lord that is acting as the best of saintly persons, showing how to be the ideal saintly person. The best of all saintly persons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige, and he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramhamsas, who are the most exalted human beings, and he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. Narada, the most powerfully saintly sage, also worships Narayan by chanting the following mantra. So he chants that one. He chants that mantra and also these mantras. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation. Yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although to the foolish he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. If we saw everything, jayato vishate pungsan sangas tejo pujayate, we develop attachment if we see and meditate upon the objects of the senses. But the Lord is the Supersoul, the Upadrashta, the overseer, the witness of everything. He sees everything, but he has no attachment. His senses are unpolluted. He is transcendental again. He is the best of saintly persons, and he incarnates to teach the saintly persons the standard of how to act and perform austerities. So let me offer my respectful obeisance into that unattached, pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is described as Satchidananda Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss, and full knowledge. Now in this verse he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, yet he is unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Nabadyate. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, Satchidananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life that are called dahika. For example, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Nahanyate dehagato api daihikai. Then again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, the objects of vision, and the process of vision. When we see someone beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man, and the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. Although he is the seer of everything, he is not afflicted with faulty vision. Nadrigyasyagunavadushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. This is the Supersoul. Text 13. O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yogic process spoken by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment, simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. But then, in the final verse in his prayers, he says, "Therefore, O Lord of transcendence, therefore, O Lord, O transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy, therefore we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction to be able to engage fully in devotional service and fix our minds upon him." Because perfect yogis can do it, but materialists cannot at the time of death focus their mind only on Krishna because they're attached. But the devotees can do it also, but in a different way than the yogis can do it. The devotees do it not by their own power, but by the mercy and compassion and affection of Krishna. So in the 15th verse, Narada is praying for the mercy of Lord Naranarayan, who is the Lord of all saintly, the best of all saintly persons, of all sadhus, of all of those who practice austerities, to benedict the devotees with the ability to be fully detached from matter and fully attached to Krishna by his mercy. So we'll read quickly some of those purports and then we'll end. This is from text 13. The only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, and qualities. That's very radical, isn't it? This is the only purpose of life. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way, 24 hours a day, he is already liberated. Swarupena vyavastiti. Whereas materialists are absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees, on the contrary, are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are already on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death. Then he will certainly return back home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. That means one has to be fully detached from matter and fully attached to Krishna. Text 14, Prabhupada's purport. At the time of death, the materialist thinks of his wife and children. He is absorbed in thinking of how will they live and who will take care of them after he leaves. Consequently, he is never prepared to give up his body. Rather, he wants to continue to live in the body to serve his society, family, friends, and so on. Therefore, by practicing the mystic yoga system, one must become detached from bodily relationships. If despite practicing bhakti yoga and studying all the Vedic literature, one is afraid of giving up his bad body, which is the cause of all his suffering, what is the use of his attempts to advance in spiritual life? The secret of success in practicing yoga is to become free from bodily attachments. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, "Deha smriti nahi yar samsara bandhana kahantar." One whose practice has freedom from the anxieties of bodily needs is no longer in conditional life. Such a person is freed from conditional bondage. A person in Krishna consciousness must fully discharge his devotional duties without material attachment. Then his liberation is guaranteed. So actually, how can we become in that state? fully detached from matter and so fully attached to Krishna that we have no taste for matter? Prabhupada explains in its purport. The Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. The perfect yoga system consists of always thinking of Krishna, always engaging in devotional service, always worshipping Krishna, and always offering obeisances unto Him. And thus we practice this yoga system, our illusory attachment for this bad body which is full of stool and urine is impossible to give up. So it's the positive, the practice of the positive that allows us to renounce the negative. Krishna consciousness is the positive alternative. If we think continuously, I have to be detached, I have to give this up, I have to give that up, I have to give this up, we'll just be thinking about all the things we have to give up and we won't be able to give them up at all. But rather, if we can somehow or another become attached to Krishna, His form, His qualities, His activities, His service, His mission, then naturally detachment from matter occurs. The perfection of yoga, Prabhupada explained, consists of giving up attachment for this bodily and bodily relationships and transferring that attachment to Krishna. Somehow or another, our purpose in life is to become attached to Krishna. We are very attached to material enjoyment, but when we transfer that same attachment to Krishna, we traverse the path of liberation. One has to practice this yoga system and none other. So that is the challenge, the mission of our life, to become attached to Krishna fully, focusedly. Okay, thank you very much. I've kept you late. All listening attentively. Thank you. So, if Krishna allows, next week we'll complete this 19th chapter. Next, really the prayers about Bharadvarsha and the residence of Bharadvarsha and the benefits of birth in Bharadvarsha by the demigods. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.